Hello, everyone. This is Anna Verzoni, founder and creator of FreedomBookie.com and the UrbanWellnessClub.com. And welcome to the final call of our Rainbow Cleanse. And you guys are all wrapping this up on Halloween. So congratulations for making it thus far. And know that there's just a few more days to go. This is often when I feel the best on these types of cleanses because I've been off of the stuff long enough that I'm really starting to notice the benefits of improved energy in the morning, clearer thinking, more mood stabilization, fewer cravings. Like every now and then, you know, there's stuff that I miss, but otherwise, I pretty much really enjoy this part of the cleanse. And I hope that that's the case for you guys. And some of you may not be noticing much or be feeling crappy. And probably 99% of the time what's going on is that there was a high enough toxic burden that it's still not out of your system. So, you know, by stopping eating the toxic foods and eating more cleanly, your toxins are able to be released into your bloodstream more, and they're just still there, and you need to continue eating cleanly for a longer period of time. Or you could have a food allergen to something that is still on the cleanse. Okay, so those are some of the more common causes. No one has told me that they're not feeling better, but in case you're just keeping quiet, I just wanted you to know that that does happen. It's not that common, but there's usually an underlying cause that needs to be further explored. So if that's the case with you, feel free to share on the Facebook group about that, and we could dive into it deeper. But hopefully everyone's feeling better, which is what I've been seeing and hearing. So basically, other than answering any questions, I just wanted to go into a little bit more detail about how to come off of the cleanse because it's pretty important. And I think I had mentioned, you know, not to come off of things pretty, like, quickly and start eating pizza and all of that. But I wanted to go over that one more time because I know that some people still had questions, and so I'll just make this call exclusively about that, okay? So in terms of getting started, this is, you know, also mentioned in your guide, by the way, in the comprehensive guide for reintroducing foods. So basically, if you are concerned about food allergens and want to know how sensitive you are to gluten or dairy or corn or one of these other things, this is how I want you to do it, okay? So what you want to do is first think about what food do you miss the most or crave the most, because you may want, or that you were eating most often before. Because sometimes it's good to just get that over with. Like, I remember when I first eliminated corn, I was really missing it. So that was one of the first things I reintroduced because I really wanted to know. Because if I could start eating corn again, it would make the reintroduction of the other foods much more easy. So the other thing is you want to eat a generous amount of that food throughout the day, right? At least two, if not three, average-sized portions. And your guide has a description of what the average-sized portions are. And you continue to eat cleanly from the Rainbow Cleanse protocol. So during that day that you're first introducing the food, so that would be November 1st. And, by the way, one of the other common questions I get is, can I end the cleanse on Halloween so I can go out? Like, yeah, definitely. You know, that's why I kind of didn't have it ending on November 1st in case you felt like you wanted to break the cleanse on Halloween. But know that, again, one of my recommendations that I've talked about is not just going out and partying and eating a bunch of candy and getting super drunk coming off the cleanse, okay? So just be gentle to your body coming off of the cleanse. So you're going to eat that throughout the day and on the next day, the first and the next day of eating that first food you're introducing, record any symptoms on your food reintroduction symptoms tracker chart, okay? And then if there's no reaction to the food during those 2 days, you can keep eating it. And then you want to introduce a second food on day three. So not on day two of reintroduction, but on day three. Watch for any symptoms again on day three and four. And if there's no reaction, you can keep that in the diet as well. So if any food has the symptoms, then stop eating that food immediately. okay, and wait until the symptoms clear and then reintroduce the next one. So you have to wait until your symptoms clear. Otherwise, if that new food causes the same symptoms, you won't notice, all right? You can retest any of the foods that give you symptoms after testing all the other ones that you've eliminated using the same protocol, right, of day one of eating the food followed by a 24-hour waiting period, okay? So the main foods that we've eliminated that you may have wanted to think about your allergy sensitivity to are dairy, soy, corn, peanuts, eggs, beef, pork, and shellfish. And I know that some of you were still eating shellfish because you already knew, that's fine. Beef and pork, again, more because of the way that they're raised. So if you were eating more like grass-fed, pasteurized beef, then that's okay too, and you probably didn't have too much sensitivity. But anyway, and obviously the other one is gluten. So as I may have mentioned to you before, if you've been craving gluten, I don't recommend that as the first food that you add in. That's probably the one exception to that rule. So if you've been thinking about gluten a lot and wanting to add it in and want to know if you're sensitive to it, I wouldn't do it because if you are sensitive to it and you add it in, you could have your symptoms for quite a while with gluten. So I would wait for gluten to be last, okay, and reintroduce everything else because most people are sensitive to gluten to some degree and you will most likely have some kind of response. So I would save that one for last. Okay. So if you are wanting to, you know, reintroduce these foods in as pure a way as possible, there's a list of kind of more pure preparations of the food because what you don't want is to confound your results by like having hot chocolate with which has chocolate and sugar and maybe cream even or stuff like that. You know, you want to add in the food purely and not mix it. So for example, for wheat and gluten, you would have and you're doing this one last, right? 100% whole wheat cereal like Wheatina or 100% whole wheat noodles and just have that with any other cleanse friendly foods. If you're introducing dairy, just have milk or cheese, whole milk cheese, no additives to it because then you don't want to be wondering if you're reacting to the additives. The other thing is with corn, just actual corn, right? Corn on the cob or corn kernels. Pork, just have it plain, not in a casserole. Eggs, hard or soft boiled or poached, not mixed in with a bunch of stuff. Peanuts. Try raw or dry roasted or peanut butter made of 100% peanuts only. No other weird oils added or something like that. Soy, you could do edamame, soy milk, tofu or tempeh. Shellfish, you want to not just do a shellfish stew like the clams and mussels and stuff. If you're worried about this, you want to add in different types of shellfish because some people can eat clams but not mussels and whatnot. So add in each different type of shellfish each time. And then barley or rye, right, which has a similar protein structure to gluten, you can have cooked barley or rice cereal. I love barley, actually. I wish I could eat more of it. It has a really nice chewy texture. Or 100% rye crackers, okay? And the portion sizes are listed to the right. The average portion size is about a cup, all right? So, remember, just that food alone, not a bunch of other stuff, okay? So similarly to the mocha drink that has coffee and chocolate, you don't want to have like a Irish cream thing that has alcohol in it as well. And other things that are challenging for cleanses, obviously, if you're reintroducing, are things like pizza or lasagna because that has so much. It has like dairy and gluten and whatnot, okay? So just be gentle about that. So reintroducing pure, uncomplicated foods and not complex foods. So what if you have a reaction? You want to stop eating the foods that produce that reaction, okay, immediately, not like let me just make sure if I eat more, if I get worse. Stop it immediately. What are reactions? Well, obvious ones are like diarrhea or constipation, feeling more fatigued, bloating, gas, abdominal pain, But skin breakouts, obviously. But some other more subtle things might be just depression, anxiety, a more lower level of fatigue or brain fog, muscle or joint pain, especially if you were eliminating nightshades and added those back in, it'd be interesting to check on that. Headaches, trouble sleeping, sinus congestion or runny nose. I have that a lot with dairy, cow dairy at least, or itching or just your skin flushing or turning red. So again, use the symptom tracker chart, okay, and write those down. You don't have to use that chart, but, you know, it just gives you a guideline, but at least write it down in your journal or something. Now, what if you do have a reaction? What do you do with that food? Well, ideally, you're removing it for 3 to 6 months, okay? And during, why 3 to 6 months? Well, if you've been eating that food and it created a reaction, then what it can do is continue to damage your intestinal lining and perpetuate leaky gut or make it worse or initiate leaky gut symptoms. So by eliminating that, you're giving your gut a chance to repair. If you found that you are sensitive to a food that you've been eating for a while, I recommend that you do seek out some health coaching, either with me or with someone else, or see a provider, a functional medicine provider that can help you heal your gut, because it's important to be proactive about healing your gut and closing those tight gap junctions so that you don't have things leaking into your bloodstream that shouldn't be. So you could also get allergy testing if you want. And again, I find that this cleanse is more indicative and helpful than doing allergy testing, because allergy testing will sometimes not pick up these more subtle allergies. But sometimes it can be helpful to have both if you're like, oh, my God, corn, really? Let me just make sure. But just know that if it's negative, it doesn't mean that you're not sensitive to it, okay? It just means that you're not mounting the immune response to show up on the test. So, like, let's say let me just get a little more clear about this. So you could do the further allergy testing with your provider. Or you could also, like, for example, with dairy, when I had a sensitivity to dairy, I'm going to check, just like you would with shellfish, different types of dairy. So what I found was it was mostly cow dairy. I could actually have sheep or goat dairy and not have the same reactions as much, because obviously I probably had those less, and the way that they're raised is very different from the way dairy cows are raised, most dairy cows. So that's also something you can do. So you can say, well, when I introduced, I tried whole milk or whatever type of cheese. So what I'm going to do is add in, maybe I can check if I can have hard cheeses, because hard cheeses have less lactose than soft cheeses. Or I can try goat cheese or sheep cheese. I can try goat milk instead of cow milk, okay? And also the fermented forms of food can also be tolerated better often, like yogurt or even kefir. So with wheat, you can test sprouted wheat, spelt, which is a slightly different protein structure, farro, or any other ancient, quote-unquote, ancient forms of wheat, okay? And you would use the same process, one type at a time for one day with a 24-hour observation period. Okay. What I'm going to do is check if anybody has any questions about that. If you're on the call, press star 2 to raise your hand, or you can type it into the lower left-hand corner. Let's see here. I don't see any questions in. So what I'd like to do is just go over some of the most frequently asked questions that I have not potentially covered yet. All right. So again, what if the elimination diet doesn't resolve my symptoms? So you've got these symptoms of joint pain or foggy brain, and like, what's going on? Well, that's when you really need to hire a health coach or go to your healthcare provider to go even deeper. Like, you need to follow the diet 100% and make sure that it wasn't contaminated first by other things. You may need to undergo additional testing to see if you're allergic to something not on the common list. And it's really important that if you did, quote unquote, cheat on the cleanse, to try to do it again for 3 weeks without cheating, because that will really contaminate your results. Like even just a little bit of gluten in your oatmeal, if you didn't eliminate oats, like that could throw off the whole cleanse, okay? Because some people are exquisitely sensitive to exposures. Corn is found in so many things. And so you want to make sure that it's potentially, it's corn, that you really eliminate corn and corn byproducts. So you can also potentially have candida issues where you're having a high level of sugars that's causing yeast overgrowth. So even though it's not an allergy per se, you have yeast. And so what you need to do is have a different type of food plant where you're eliminating certain carbohydrates and sugars, okay? Or maybe you have a different type of allergy reaction and you need to eliminate food that has histamines, or if you didn't eliminate nightshades, do the nightshades, or some foods have salicylates or oxalates in them, and that can trigger responses in people. So this is where, you know, it's really hard to do online or from a distance. It's really beneficial to get one-on-one coaching via telephone or in person or with your provider, okay? Another thing, excuse me, is about salt. So some people ask about salt and how much salt can I use, and really you want to be using salt sparingly, because and you also want to use sea salt and not refined iodized salt. So you can, you know, nowadays you can more easily find like those beautiful older forms of salt, like the Himalayan salt or the Bali salt and true sea salt, and you want to use those. Salt does so much stuff to our bodies, and we weren't meant to eat it in high amounts. I mean, especially if you eat out. If you eat out, you've met your daily requirement, if not exceeded it, of salt just in that one meal, or canned and processed foods. You've probably met or exceeded your salt recommended intake in that one serving. So we're really not meant to have high amounts of salt. Salt can raise your blood pressure. It could throw off your electrolyte balance, throw off your mineral balance, and do a whole bunch of stuff to the body. So if you're one of those people that throws on salt before even tasting the food, that's a habit that really needs to shift for the long-term health benefit of you, and especially your kids, too. So it's a flavor that we can get addicted to. So you want to taper off of, or not taper off, you want to really taper down the amount that you have. So get used to training your palate to be sensitive to smaller amounts of salt. I'm really sensitive to salt. I've always been, thankfully, so that's never been an issue for me. Like, I cook with it, but I don't put a lot of it in, and I usually never have to add it to my food. So, if you're the one that adds the salt without even tasting it first, at least start there. And then try to just cook with it and not add it. And especially don't add salt when you're eating out, because they are definitely using a lot of salt in most restaurants. So, bean farts. So some people, you know, have a very strong reaction to beans. I got a few emails about this. You know, usually they're eating more different types of protein and they're trying to put more legumes into their diet during the cleanse. And, you know, beans are awesome. They have high protein, fiber, vitamins, minerals. But in the paleo diet, you know, they don't eat legumes, because legumes is considered a luxury of the agricultural era, not the hunter-gatherer era that the paleo diet focuses on. So they only allow green beans, of all things, because they are harder to digest for most people. So if you want to add more beans to your diet because you notice that even though they make you toot, you have more energy when you're eating those and not other types of proteins, you want to increase it slowly over the course, increase your intake of it over the course of 1 to 3 weeks. The other thing you can do is soak the beans overnight before cooking them in the morning, and you want to rinse them after soaking, because the products that cause the farting is in the water. So if you can dump the water and then rinse it off, that will really help. And another thing is to cook it with a little bit of wakame. Just break off a piece of wakame seaweed and cook that with the beans. And the enzymes in the seaweed will help also break down that part of the beans that cause increased gas. And also you may notice that certain ones, certain types of legumes have more of a response than others. Like for me, I can't do garbanzo beans even though I love hummus. I still eat hummus every now and then, but I'm just ready for what's to follow. But garbanzo beans are really hard for me to break down. Chickpeas is the other word for that. Some people have a harder time with black beans than pinto beans. So even though black beans are considered, quote unquote, healthier by so many people, they're not if your body can't break them down as well. So don't feel guilty about having pinto beans. Pinto beans are awesome too. So, you know, don't feel like you have to eat black beans just because they're healthier if they make you toot more. Really, variety is a thing. Have, you know, have pinto sometimes and black beans other times. What is really digestible are lentils and green peas and dal. So, you know, khichdi, which has dal and rice cooked together, that's really easy to digest and a classic Ayurvedic food for healing digestion. Let me see. Any other questions? I think that those were the main ones that I was getting via email. Some people were asking, like, how is this diet different from the other elimination cleansers, like my superfoods cleanse? Well, there are some that are really restrictive, right? Like you're only eating one type of food a day, like broccoli, or like, you know, just cruciferous vegetables one day, or less restrictive, like maybe you're only eliminating gluten or eliminating dairy. This particular elimination diet on the Rainbow Cleanse that was developed by the Institute of Functional Medicine, this is a great way to identify the most common food problems, especially if you don't have any clue of foods that might be connected. So it's a great place to start because you're not eating pork, beef, corn, eggs, gluten, dairy, soy, peanuts, shellfish, caffeine, alcohol, or refined sugars. All right? Now, if you are strongly suspecting something, like you're pretty sure it's dairy and that that's causing most of your problems, you don't have to, in the future, eliminate all of these things. You could just eliminate dairy. Like I was telling you guys, I know that corn doesn't cause me those issues, so I eat corn even when I'm doing my seasonal cleanses because I know it doesn't cause an inflammatory response. But if any of these foods cause even a mild inflammatory response, you really want to eliminate them in your future cleanses that you do. So, for example, in the spring, I will do my superfoods cleanse again, very similarly structured, except we have a focus on superfoods instead of the phytonutrients. But there are definitely some phytonutrients present in the different fruits and vegetables that we've been trying that are part of superfoods as well. But, you know, if you know that you can have corn, then feel free to have corn on the superfoods cleanse. There's also the FODMAP diet that eliminates certain type of carbohydrates. And there's ones that basically are like oligoantigenic, which is a very, very limited diet that eliminates a lot more foods. And you're eating a very small number of foods that cause no or few reactions. Like maybe you're having a little bit of quinoa and then some steamed vegetables, and that's all you're eating and seeing what happens. You know, a lot of times when people go raw or go vegan and they feel like amazing for the first few weeks or months of completely changing their diet, it's simply because they've eliminated these allergenic foods, not because they're eating raw per se or not because they are quote-unquote vegan per se. It's because they've eliminated through that process one of these allergenic foods. And so what I often see is people have been vegan for several years and then their health starts to decline. And usually that's because they're not receiving some of the key nutrients found in these other foods. Or people that eat raw feel great for a few years and then their health starts to decline because breaking down raw food can be pretty taxing on the body. So I'm not saying don't do raw or don't do vegan, but just telling you about what my experience has been is that some people don't do well over the super long haul on those diets and that they can develop nutrient deficiencies or a weaker digestive tract in the long run because of the certain habits. So, I mean, I'm always a middle way person. Like, if you feel great on raw, then do raw like 60-70% of the time. That's great. But give your body a little break with lightly cooking some foods to make it easier to assimilate into the body. Vegan, you got to be really careful about your nutritional balance, because I've seen a lot of vegans develop B12 deficiency. And you know, you can only go so far with adding in the brewer's yeast to get your B12. A lot of vegans I've found can benefit from having a little bit of fish, like once a month or something like that. It can make a huge difference. Obviously, if you're going vegan for more extreme ethical reasons, then that wouldn't work. So you definitely need to be more mindful about how you eat. You know, you can't be one of the vegetarians that basically just eats white food. If you're vegan, go, especially like we did on this cleanse, with the phytonutrients and making sure your food is as colorful as possible, and taking mineral supplements and micronutrient supplements. So I hope that that was helpful for you guys, and I hope that you guys bring any more questions to the Facebook group and that you continue to kick ass on this cleanse. There's only a few more days, and I highly encourage you to share your experiences on the Facebook group. I highly encourage you to share it with your friends and family, because oftentimes, you know, people hear about these cleanses and they get kind of scared about them. And if you can inspire them to do a cleanse because of the way that you've been living your life and the way that you've been showing more energy, better mood balance, you've lost some weight, you know, you're just feeling more vital and thriving, that can really inspire friends and family. Because, I mean, really, it's not about being healthy. It's about what being healthy allows you to do. And I know that for me, you know, sometimes people think, well, what does cleansing have to do with freedom, Junkiana? Like, why are you kind of doing this thing? And really, the reason I do it is because when your body is in alignment with your goals and with your dreams, then you can live life to the fullest. So that's really, for me, the ultimate purpose of doing these cleanses, is so that you can have the energy to live life full on. So I hope you continue to do that, and that you've learned a lot about yourself and food and your body during this cleanse, and also about how much energy you're capable of having on a day-to-day basis, so that you can get out there and live your most amazing life. All right, you guys, thank you for being on the call, and I will see you on the forum, and maybe even on our free New Year detox cleanse that starts in January of 2015. All right, take care. Bye.